I know words to songs that I really loathe, but I still know the words.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Films like The Shawshank Redemption. Now, I've seen that film at least 3 times, and I still can't remember whether he gets out of prison at the end. I can't remember what happens.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Neither can I. And then you find that it's all got too much. And that brings us back to memory, because when you're... see what I did there?
I did. Nice.
Don't move my piles.
Oh.
In the nicest possible way.
Yeah. You know, we were talking the other week about the dumplings. Things pop up and...
Oh, I loved your dumplings, yes.
Excuse
the expression.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Carrie, and hi, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.
So, Nikki, I just wanted to talk to you about a bit of a follow-up to something I realised on Saturday night when we were out.
Yeah.
So, for the listeners, and I'm sure Nikki will be able to post a photo of us on our Instagram of us doing this.
Are you sure you want me to?
We went with some friends to an 80s night, and it was a really good fun. It was all a fundraiser for a friend of mine who's running the London Marathon, and it was just a fantastic night. We just danced all night, and at the end of the evening, loads of the people that we were with said to me, "Oh my God, Carrie, you know like every word to every song from the 80s."
You certainly did.
And like songs I didn't even know I could remember.
Mm.
And actually, it's quite funny. When my husband and I got married, he made a reference to my knowledge of 80s music and 80s trivia, and even gave me in his wedding speech a lyrics quiz, which I obviously got right. But it is one of those things. They're just locked in. But I was very aware the next morning... Mm. When I was looking for my phone, some of my running stuff that I'd left all over the place, my keys, absolutely no idea where they were. And I thought, oh, isn't memory an interesting thing? How there are some bits that are so locked in, especially historic things. I mean, I don't know if you're like that with songs or music, I think particularly. I mean, we're both musicians, so I suppose... Music is absolutely a soundtrack to me. My earliest memories are, we had one of those record players that you could put the stack of records in the top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Then they drop down.
Yes. And my mum used to buy all of those, like Top of the Pops, 1975, and Top of the Pops, the K-Tel records that had all the sort of, they were the early equivalent of now that's what I call music, weren't they?
Yep, yep.
And she would put those on and they would drop down, and I would just stand or sit in front of our record player for hours from like 3, 4, 5 years old. So I just was lost in music. And I think in my teenage years as well, it was so important to me. I would just spend hours in my room listening to music, and it kind of gave me, and this is a bit of a tangent, but maybe relevant, it kind of gave me a fantasy world where everything was good and happy. Mm. And because I loved singing and I loved performing, I could be in that fantasy world with my hairbrush microphone in front of my mirror in my bedroom, just singing along. And that was just my real happy space. It was a complete fantasy world. And actually, if I think back now, I could almost... You picture the crowds and, you know, what I was wearing and all the rest of it.
Mm.
So it gave me a real chance to escape. So maybe that's why those songs are just locked in. And maybe it was the fact that in the 80s, I was age 10 to 20. So it's your formative years and you've probably got a much better memory than you have than when you're 53. Let's be honest. But it's this strange thing that there are so many things I just can't remember. Because actually, also from that time, I can remember songs, but I can't remember films.
Mm.
So, for example, films like The Shawshank Redemption. Now, I've seen that film at least 3 times, and I still can't remember whether he gets out of prison at the end.
Well.
And, No spoilers, no spoilers.
We've lost half our audience now because they're never coming back. Oh, no, but you said you can't remember.
Yes. I can't remember what happened.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Neither can I.
Okay, well, that's good. And films I'm terrible with, TV, books. It was really hard. I studied English and I found it really hard to remember the plot of things. I find it really hard to remember conversations that I've had with people, even really significant conversations where somebody, I'm jumping in, I don't when I'm coaching because that's all I'm doing.
Yes.
But having conversations with girlfriends of mine and friends when I was a student, friends from school, I say, oh gosh, do you remember when we did this or that or the other? And some of them I remember, but a lot of them I don't. Now, partly that could have been due to alcohol consumption. I'm just going to fully own up to that one. Mm. But a lot of them are things that weren't involving alcohol. And I just think I have no recollection of that at all. And yet music is just locked in.
Yeah.
Are you like that at all?
I've just drawn two circles with a massive Venn diagram central bit. Because, I mean, we relate to each other a lot, but this is like, I could have said just about everything you said, including the alcohol in those days. Oh, where do I start? I would just like to say that until we went away recently for that weekend, I didn't know that you played the piano. And then you had a blow-up air guitar on Saturday. Not an air guitar, blow-up guitar, inflatable guitar.
Yeah.
And I rudely said, oh, shall I show you a chord? And you said, you want G or A? And I went, oh, I didn't know you played. See, you do like to hide your light under a bushel sometimes.
Yeah, they're not very bright lights. They're I used to play the guitar and the piano, but I...
Oh, no. Sorry, we're not about minimising here.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, as musicians, both of us.
Yes.
And singers, I grew up exactly like you in lots of ways. Well, very similar in that my parents had music on all the time and it was a certain amount of classical and opera. And opera's not really my thing, although annoyingly I've got a sort of operatic voice for my great aunt. But I want to sing like Pink.
Yes.
It's not really operatic. But anyway, so I grew up with Frank Sinatra and Bossa Nova and the Beatles and Bach and Beethoven and anything else beginning with B. So I was surrounded by music. And also, I just wrote down quickly, I wonder if the current generation is missing what I'm about to say. Because my friends used to come round to tea in the flesh and we'd sit and just listen to music.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there with my best friend, Caroline, and we just sit and listen to The Carpenters or Bread or somebody in those days, because it was the 70s.
Mm.
And your 80s, knowing all the words, I didn't know all the words of Saturday Night, but I would have done if it had been the 70s. And do you know what? I know words to songs that I really loathe, but I still know the words.
Yeah.
It's just weird. But I do think there was, as you alluded to, the young brain is a sponge, isn't it? And it's,
yes,
your, a lot of your memories, and also because you're very emotional, even more emotional as a teenager.
Yeah.
So there's an awful lot of imprinting going on. But I was so lucky to grow up in the 70s, in as much as there was such a lot of fantastic songwriters, you know, oh, Carole King and James Taylor and Janis Ian and
yeah,
Simon and Garfunkel and the Beatles and Ralph McTell, all these people who knew how to write a song and to convey a message and a story and melody and, oh, just construction and the whole thing. So that was really formative for me as a musician as well. So yes, like you, as I've said before on here, where's my phone? Oh, I did it this morning because I've got two phones here. Could I find them? No. I'm looking forward to the day when Apple tells me exactly to within a foot in the house where it is. Because it just being in the house is no use whatsoever.
Well,
and I just pray that when I do lose it, the volume or at least the buzzer's still on me.
Yes. Well, I don't have a landline now.
Oh, you told me you did.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't anymore. Yesterday, I had a client who was, I was WhatsApp video calling because she was out somewhere and it was just coming up to appointment. Could I find my phone anywhere? Not at all. I was, and of course, I didn't have a landline to even ring it. And I was sort of like, oh, how am I going to find it? And I thought, oh, could I play something through Spotify on the computer and make it play out of my phone or something? Anyway, fortunately, at the last minute, I found it on the window ledge in the utility room, which I hadn't even got any recollection of going into that morning.
Well, you see, I know you don't like Apple, But in its defence, you can now, from your computer, as long as they're all linked up, you can now get it to play a sound on your phone.
Oh, can you?
To like a ring thing.
Oh.
So this assumes you can find your computer.
Your yeah, they're at least bigger and static.
Well, ish. So, yes, I was fine when it's just the computer, but the laptop. Mm. Anyway. Oh, yes, you were talking about songs as opposed to films.
Yeah.
And I wonder what the difference there is, because I'm a really visual person, you know, designer background and all that, photography, blah. But I know what you say. Equally, if I read a book, a fiction book, because I don't read fiction much now, mostly it's to do with coaching because I love it. But when I was reading a lot of fiction about 10 years ago, I couldn't really reread a book because I'd know what was coming next. But then I read really slowly. For somebody of reasonably decent intelligence, I do read slowly. I always have.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a form of dyslexia concurrent with my ADHD. But the good side of that is I was a very good proofreader because I read word by word. Two of my friends are lawyers and they read almost a page in one go. So I don't know what the difference is.
That's interesting because I am not a word by word reader. I find it really difficult to read. I read all over the page in one go.
Mm.
So I don't always read down a page. I flick around and sort of go away from each page with an impression of what's had.
I think that's speed reading. I think you're meant to do it that way.
No. From teaching children to read, having taught a lot of reading, that is skim reading. But if you're... Yes, that is speed reading and there's a purpose for it.
Yeah.
If you need to skim read, yes, that's a skill. But I sort of read everything like that, which makes it really difficult. And I genuinely find certain fonts, certain sizing, I cannot process it.
Oh.
I can pick up a book and look at the font and think, I'm not going to read, I can't read that.
Yeah, me too.
Because I cannot process what's on it.
Yeah.
And I like things, you know, you said about my emails when I send them out, organising things, and they're really clear to read.
Oh, for the chorus.
That's because that is the only way that I can process information, broken down with gaps between your short sentences, bullet points to highlight.
Yes.
Bold if it's something you have to notice. That's what I need. Now, there has been a font that's been developed for people with ADHD and processing issues where it kind of does that. So it could be a page of looks like a normal page of a book in terms of size and closeness together. But it has certain bits italicized and in bold or under, and apparently it guides your brain to stay on the page.
Yes.
Rather than your brain trying, so my brain is trying to find bits to latch onto and jumps all over the page. Whereas I think other people do read more, just start at the top of the page and read along and go down. And I'm sure everybody jumps boring bits. But I mean, if I get to a big chunk of description, my brain just goes, nah. And we move on and find the next bit because then I can access it.
Yeah.
So it's in some ways a skill because I can. Well, is it a skill? I'm saying it's a skill. Do I use it as a skill? No, I miss lots of things because I can't pick them out of a small text. I would then have to read it. If I really needed to get to the nitty gritty, I'd probably have to read it aloud.
Mm-hmm. So this ties in with what you were saying previously about struggling with textbooks and things.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, mine is more, when I was a kid, I found reading really laborious. It's interesting that we've gone from memory to reading here.
Yes.
It was prompted by the film versus reading. So.
And I think it's all about processing, isn't it, really?
It is processing. So is it, because I know a lot of people with ADHD have concurrent dyslexia or a visual processing disorder. That kind of thing. There's an auditory one, I know. So I wonder if there's something going on there.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I did have, at school, we had a dyslexia tracker. It didn't diagnose, but it gave an assessment of your working memory, auditory processing, visual processing, all of those sorts of things. And my working memory was actually quite poor. And my auditory processing was really bad. Visual processing was better. But that doesn't fit with you know, being able to remember music. And it's a bit of a jumble.
It's very strange.
It's really strange.
Can I just do a small round of applause for you?
Oh, thank you.
A little bit of praise, because I know you like a bit of praise.
It doesn't.
And I, you know, I've had my own struggles, so I'm not sitting on a pointy mountain as ever here. But I've thought this before, and I'm just going to say it, which is, given that you've had issues with textbooks and reading and everything, what an amazing job you've done with your career.
Oh, thanks, Nick.
You're being a deputy head with all that in the way, and it just shows, oh, I got all emotional. Kudos. I just wanted to sort of reflect
Thank
that
you.
Back to you, that I'm in awe of your what you've done in terms of your progress in your previous career and the current one, because there was a lot of paperwork in our current one. But no, it's just I just wanted to say about that.
Thank you. And actually, there's something there about masking, but we're at risk of running off in so many different directions.
We can come back.
Yes. I saw something the other day. Somebody was posting, one of these ADHD expert people, it was a forum that they were on, and they were talking about what masking can look like.
Yeah.
And one of the examples was, and it relates directly to what you were just saying, how can you have ADHD when you've held down such a difficult job and all the rest of it? But they were saying, actually, it is, in a way, my ability to do my job well was very much fueled by a couple of things. Number one being a fear of, if I don't focus and concentrate on this really, really hard, everybody's going to find out how useless I am.
Mm.
So I want everybody to at work go, oh my God, you're so organized.
Yeah.
So much of my emotional and mental energy went into doing that. And I can't remember what the second thing was.
It'll come back.
There was the second thing. Yeah, no, there was the second one, but I can't remember what it was.
It may reappear. I was just thinking that, so what you were just talking about, it's like playing to the gallery. It's not people-pleasing, it's actually serving yourself.
Yeah.
But we do these things. And actually, that probably focused you enough to get you to be able to do it.
Yes. It did, and I could do it really well, but it was masking fear of exposure, fear of shame. And I think alongside that, it gave me, and this is another thing that masking can look like, having such tight, almost crippling patterns and routines and strategies that they can exhaust you. And I think that whilst I was professionally doing a really good job, home became really difficult. I couldn't do both. And I would say at least once a year, I would have a big burnout and I would just have a collapse and have to go to bed for sort of 3 days weeping, because then my shame fell in of like, I'm so useless, I'm so crap.
Yeah.
I'm ill, everyone's going to think I'm rubbish.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a bandwidth thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exceeding your bandwidth.
Definitely. So I think alongside all of those, hats off, I say to you, all of these people with ADHD holding down jobs.
Mm. Or actually, not just holding them down,
yeah,
but doing them really well.
Yes. And jobs that are really demanding.
Yeah. I was reading on one of the ADHD Facebook groups for entrepreneurs online last night, and it was quite a long post. And she was basically, as she put it, having a rant or a vent, because she'd had so much work, she didn't know what to do with it. She was committed to doing all these different projects, and it's not like she could suddenly get rid of some of them because she was in the middle of them all. She didn't have the time or the bandwidth to take on anybody to help. And I think she's a designer, and if you're a designer, as I know only too well, if you hand it over to somebody else, you've got to be really careful, because it's your reputation.
Yes.
And if you hand over substandard work or not as good, then they won't come back anyways. And she couldn't put her prices up at that stage to try and get rid of some clients, if you like. And I felt for her, and I left her a post saying, you know, I've got that T-shirt, or I've had that T-shirt in my career. Thank goodness, not now. But it's that hitting the buffers. And you want to do everything. You want to help everybody. You've got a money thing going on. You've got all sorts of different values. And,
yeah.
And then you find that it's all got too much. And that brings us back to memory, because when you're... see what I did there?
I did. Nice.
Try to get the T-shirt. It brings you back to memory, because when you're overwhelmed, your amygdala take over and you get flooded with emotion, And then your frontal cortex stops having such a look in, and you can't think, you can't organise, and therefore you are less efficient, and therefore things get out of control, and it's a vicious circle or cycle.
I think you're right. Yeah, and that sort of overwhelm of there is so much to remember in life, isn't there?
Mm. Especially our lives, because we fill them with so much stuff.
Yes.
I mean, our lives collectively, ADHDers, we always want to do everything all the time.
Yes. Absolutely. There's always so much to do. And I think that's really hard.
Yeah.
Some tasks I find really complicated to do. We've talked before about washing. Oh my gosh. So here's an example. So the other day I thought, right, I'm going to put a wash on. And I actually took two baskets. And I thought, I'm going to, you know, I'll sort them out. I haven't done it for a while. And I think there's, you know, there was two baskets ready. And there was another one that I just put back in of whites. I thought, oh, I'll do that later. Anyway, went to put a wash on, obviously then completely forgot to get it out. My husband's very good. He knows that there's a washing issue. He got it out, took it off, folded it, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, about 4 days later, I said, where's that other basket that was out that had washing ready to go? And he said, oh, well, I just put it back in the wash basket. I just put it all back in. And I was like, well, you've added about a 2 week delay time to the delivery of that, you know, I said, because now I've got to work myself out to get, you know, that's a staging post for me, because having sorted it once, I was like, okay, that one, I've got my eye on that one. And at some point I will get round to putting that one on again.
Yes.
He was like, what are you thinking? And he was like, oh God, yeah, of course I shouldn't have done that. But that's what I mean. Everything to me is very complicated.
Don't move my piles.
Oh.
In the nicest possible way.
Yeah.
I mean, piles of paper, piles of washing. If I put something somewhere,
yes.
Like if there's a random object in the hall, it's to remind me to do something.
I do that.
If it's sitting on the floor there, a bottle of detergent or something, it's to remind me. Now, to be fair, my wife does the same thing sometimes as well. But occasionally she'll tidy up something. And I vary between a bit like you were laughing, or being calm and say, and sometimes you're like, ah!
Yes. Now I have no idea where anything is.
No! Or, oh God, it's only by a fluke that I remembered that I was going to do that, because something just jogged my memory. I saw something that had some vague link with it. And therefore, I did just remember on this occasion. But if you remove my memory jogger, there's no chance most of the time.
No.
It just doesn't happen. And, it's
and I
it.
Think, there we Sorry, go. That's the thing. Sorry, Nikki,
no,
to
no,
talk over you there. It's that memory. They are memory joggers.
Ew.
I don't naturally think of doing all these things unless there's a memory jogger. Because my brain's just having too much of a free flow party going on, remembering all the lyrics to, you know, Boom Shake the Room or whatever. That's 90s. But you know what I mean. And to remember to do something like the washing, unless there's a basket sitting there.
Exactly.
You know, we joke about things on the stairs. I put things on the stairs to remind me to do things, or sitting by the front door, or,
yes,
you know, post-it notes.
Totally. Absolutely. I've written down here, road route. So my wife is absolutely phenomenal, as was actually my ex-husband years ago, at knowing where they're going. Now, you give me a map, I can find anywhere. But who has a map these days? So sat-nav, fine, follow that. But my wife and my ex-hubby could both go on a journey in the car, 45-minute journey, back streets, all sorts of things. And not only could they find their way there next time without a map or a sat-nav, because when I'm talking about years ago, there weren't such things, they could find their way back without a map. And I'm like, how does that work?
How do people do that?
Yes. And also the thing that really makes me laugh, and I have an ongoing thing with a mutual friend that I travel to Chorus with. And even now, about 7 years later, we go to Chorus. And if it's just the two of us, so my wife's not with us because we all sing together, if for any reason she's away, we still get to one turning and we go, is it left there? Oh. It's to a local village. And it's a joke, but we just don't remember.
No.
And in the old days when it was maps, and bear in mind, I was a dispatch rider, right? Just think what an amazing dispatch rider I'd have been if only I'd had a mind like my husband at the time or my wife. Anyway, if I go wrong in the wrong direction, the next time I'm doing that journey, I can't remember which is the right way. I just can't. And I can't remember. Is it the one that I went and then got lost, or is it left? Is it? And I just don't have a clue.
Same.
Sense of direction. Nada.
Same. I don't have sense of direction at all. I have lost my car on many occasions because I've parked it somewhere and I just think, I don't know where I've parked my car.
Have you ever been to Disneyland?
No.
They've got signs all over because the car park, we went to LA years ago, the car park is the biggest car park on the whole planet, I'm sure.
I can imagine it's huge.
And there are signs everywhere saying, make a note of where your car is. And they've got numbers everywhere because otherwise.
Yeah.
Oh, I went to our local town recently and I ended up going a different way down to the shopping centre from the car park. And I realised suddenly that I was going a different way. So I took photos all the way down.
Oh, I do that.
I haven't a clue where I am. I'll never remember the way back up. And it worked.
Yep.
It worked.
Oh, I do that. I take a photo now of the road sign.
Yes.
If I parked on a pedestrian road, because otherwise I won't remember. I take a photo of the car, if it's like a multi-storey car park, which level, which floor.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And if I'm just walking somewhere, I mean, as you know, I'm a runner. And we go on all these sort of cross-country routes. And I think, oh, this is a lovely route. Absolutely no idea. I will go and try and do it myself and end up somewhere completely different.
Like Scotland.
Yeah. Because I just don't remember things like that.
No, I'm useless.
And I think, you know, we were talking the other week about the dumplings. Things pop up and...
Oh, I loved your dumplings, yes.
Excuse
expression. Your dumpling analogy.
Yes, but we were saying things pop up if they're important. But with memory, it's not the same. I can't choose what I remember and what I don't. And this loops round and round.
That's so true.
It can be really important to me to remember something, but I can't do it. So let's move on from that into strategies.
Yeah, well, I think we just sort of have slightly with our photography thing.
Yeah, we've sort of put down photography, literally leaving objects.
Yes.
So that you have to climb over them to get out of the house.
Please don't move my piles.
Yes. But I think for me, writing things down is the only way I can do it.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. There was a slight delay at the beginning. Well, one of our many delays at the beginning of our session. And I had to go and get a pen because I've realised that even if I'm not writing anything, if I don't have a pen in my hand, I don't focus as well and I don't remember as well.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But well, I think that's the thing. I mean, I don't necessarily have to have a pen, but I don't know if you notice, I touch my face, I tap my fingers a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that to me is it's sort of that, I don't know. Please write in if you know why I do that. I have a friend who's a psychologist and she did explain it to me once. She's a psychotherapist and she said it's some sort of a stimulating thing or, I don't know, interesting. But I do that and I notice I do it when I'm with clients. I sort of fiddle with my mouth and things.
Interestingly, I hadn't really noticed you do it very much at all in our chats. So there's a different thing going on.
That is interesting. I wonder why.
I don't know.
So... But for me, writing things down is the way.
Totally.
And I don't now have bits of paper. My husband's hilarious. You know, he has like a list. It's always on a tiny piece of paper. Tiny, tiny pieces of paper. Like half a post-it note. And it'll have the smallest writing or a piece of paper folded up. But he has a few of those and he doesn't lose them. And that's fine for him. I can't do that. So...
I love the distinction. He has the bits of paper and he doesn't lose them.
And he doesn't lose them.
Because he remembers where they are.
Yes, I can't do bits of paper because I would lose them. So my diary, I have to have a paper diary. Again, it's a visual thing. I cannot see on a calendar online. I have to have a week to view. But it's an A3 and it is lime green because it stands out.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't still lose it. Doesn't mean I don't still do umpteen trips up and down and all around the house because I will have left it in a room somewhere that I've forgotten or a bag. But it's too big to permanently lose, if that makes sense.
It narrows the options.
Well, it narrows the chance of being permanent lace.
It narrows the opportunities to lose it.
Yes, yeah. And alongside that, I have I think it's like a B5. It's a funny size workbook, which I really love. And that's like my day book.
Yeah.
And so if I need to do something, rather than putting it on a to-do list, I put it straight in my diary and I will think, when can I do this? And I will put it in on a day.
Yeah.
And then each day I will write down, these are the appointments I've got down one side, and these are the things I've got to get done. And if it doesn't go on that list, if it's not visual, it will, it's not a case of it probably won't, it will not happen.
Yes.
And I have to put the minute on that.
Oh, is it, we're scaffolding again.
Yes. I can't just put, I'm trying to think of an example. Oh, so today it has like phone calls that I've got to make, or go into town and pick up this, this and this.
In.
Renew your library books. I have to put that in because otherwise that will never happen. All of those things. Send an email to this person. Do your emails. Sort your finances. Pay this person.
Yeah.
It has to be down somewhere. And then I will do it. I'm pretty good then at getting on and doing things. But my memory, other than that, just it will not. It won't happen.
But this is a strategy. And this is what I think with ADHD minds. And obviously we both work with clients on things like this. And it's knowing how your mind works and working with it.
Yes.
I decided about a year or so ago that my watchword, or my key phrase in life, is I will not remember. If I do, it's a bonus. But I'm highly unlikely to remember. And that is now my given. Because otherwise we tell ourselves, as we'd say in England, porkies, pork pies, lies. We tell ourselves little lies that say, oh, I'll remember that. Of course I won't forget that. I thought of something really, really useful the other day for my wife, for her new venture.
Yeah.
And it was an extra thing that was really good. Oh, why didn't I think of that before? And I thought I'd remember. Can I remember it now? And it could be really important. So for the small things, it doesn't matter, but it's just a celestial boot up the rear end to write it down, Nikki, because I have trained myself, because my to-do list is generally at about midnight, and it's written on a very safe place, which is a piece of kitchen roll by the kettle. So kitchen paper by the kettle. There is always one there. Sometimes it gets a bit damp,
yeah,
from the tea. But I would say I don't have more than three or four things on there, to be fair. But they're last thing at night. Don't want to put my phone on because the light's too bright and it'll wake me up. So I will scribble them on there, half intelligible because they're done in the dark. I suppose I could get some post-it notes, but you know.
Yeah, I think you'd lose them.
I'd lose them, exactly. But I know where the kitchen roll is, and then gets put next to my diary. And then if anything needs passing over, which leads me to the diary thing. And oh boy, do I use my diary. Now, if there's Americans listening, this is not my dear diary. This is what you'd call a calendar. And my American clients, and I laugh about this, so when I talk about my diary, they think I'm musing about life and journaling. No, no, it's my calendar. So my diary, in English terms or British terms, is my go-to. Everything goes in there. And I realised a while back, I may have mentioned this in the podcast before, but I do not, my rule, I try not to have too many rules in life, but this is a rule. The rule is, especially with all the coaching clients now, so I have to be really, really specific. It's not like, you know, doing a design for somebody where it's spread over several weeks. This is lots of appointments every week. So I will not respond to them with a thumbs up or yes on WhatsApp or whatever. I will not confirm the appointment until it's gone in my hard copy diary.
Yeah.
And then every couple of days or so, I go through and I've got a little highlighting system and a C for calendar, which means it's gone onto my phone calendar. And a highlighter means it's gone onto Alexa. So I've got three ways. And Alexa reminds me, and the phone reminds me, and the diary's there that I've trained myself to look at. So I've got, hopefully, a fail-safe.
Alexa's great, isn't she?
She's great. She's so much better than Siri.
Yeah.
Oh, Siri. Oh, I better be quiet in case she starts piping up. But she's not with it at all. Well, Alexa's really on it.
I use Alexa a lot for like shopping lists and things. You can just...
Yep.
So as I'm going... Because if I wrote it down on a shopping list, I lose the shopping list. So when I come to do my shopping, I can just shout out, and I better keep, because she'll pipe up, you know,
yes.
Alexa.
Yeah, the A word.
Add this to my list, add that to my list. And you've just got your shopping list.
Yes.
So I think there's loads of things for us that we can use, you know, and I didn't realise you could use her for that.
Yes, it was me about a year ago too.
Yeah. All sorts of things. Set a reminder for this, set a reminder for that.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things.
Yeah.
I mean... Obviously, there's a risk that she's listening in on all your conversations, which I...
Oh, what the hell? People are listening to this, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't think my conversations are that interesting, to be honest.
Well, you know, the dumplings. What can I say?
Well, yes, me and my dumplings. But yeah, I think there are lots of things we can do. Like you said, it's awareness that your memory isn't great. And rather than trying to pretend it is or denying it is... I think since my diagnosis, I've been very much more about stepping into the space and going, this is me. I don't remember things. So when we go to our rehearsals, people will come and ask me questions and I say to them, I'll have the conversation and then say, can you email me with what you've just said? Because otherwise I will not remember to write that down or add it to something. So even things like that, if you have those conversations and you say, email me.
Yes.
And things like WhatsApp, if I've read a message and I can't reply or there's something I've got to do, to mark it as unread and pin it to the top. Because otherwise I know that I won't. So rather than pretending or avoiding it or beating myself up about it, I just happily inhabit the I have the memory of a goldfish space and put the strategies in to cope with it.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I think you and I had a conversation about a year or so ago when we were still in the church.
Don't remember.
Well, I'm saying I think. Yeah. So, and it was along the lines of, oh, shall we meet up on Wednesday or whatever it was? And you said, oh, let's look at our diaries. And I very smugly pulled my phone out and said, I'll have a look now. Because at that point, I'd just come back from a holiday and I'd had to take photos with me of my diary, the aforementioned diary, of all the pages with me so that I'd know if anybody wanted to change anything. And I came back from that holiday and I did have to change a few things while I was away. And I thought, this is ridiculous, woman. You could do all these things on the computer. Why are you not using your phone calendar? So I thought, right, I'm going to train myself. So I'm not coming from a pointy mountain place of having been so organised all these years. I absolutely haven't. Mm. And so I have trained myself and I'm quite proud of myself for having done this. And actually, mostly, I'm just grateful that I had the sense to do it because it makes life so much easier. It's not flawless. Occasionally, so I do check the diary. I always check the diary before I say confirm. But I can say, I should be free on Thursday afternoon.
You see, I am going away tomorrow and will be taking a photo of my diary for the next 3 weeks. So that I know what I'm doing when I go back. And if clients want to book in or change things, I know I'll be doing that. And you see, the idea of putting things on Google Calendar or whatever it is.
Hold on. Alexa.
Yeah, but if I'm...
Can you not do it? Doesn't that link with Google?
No.
So for the sake of 10 minutes, fine. I'm sure you can take it and put it on your Google Calendar.
You see, my brain is going...
I know, I could see. Honestly, I had this massive mountain about using my calendar. I didn't want to do it, blah, blah, blah. And all I do is I stand there with my diary in front of me and I say, Alexa, add coaching, whoever, initials. And she says, which day? And I say, 25th of whatever, 3 p.m. Got it. That's it. And to put in 12 appointments takes you 5 minutes.
Yeah, but where do they go? Where do you see them then?
Well, no, but that's the point. I'm sure there's a way. If you're a very good girl, I might look it up for you.
Well, do you know what? Save your energy because I absolutely will not do it because I cannot do two systems. I just can't and I know it won't work for me.
Okay.
So I'm very happy with my diary because I know that I wouldn't remember to change them both. I have tried in the past to have a diary on my phone and then I would change something on my phone and I wouldn't change it in my diary and it became really laborious and stressful. So actually, I'm just quite happy and it's that knowing what works for you.
Absolutely.
So I will very happily take two photos. I text myself. That's another way where I remember things.
Oh, yes.
I send texts to myself saying, you know, Nikki's changed the date, move that in the diary so that I will know when I get home to do it. Or I will email my work address so that when I get back from my holiday, there will be a list of emails where I've amended things.
Oh, you see, that's very organised.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm impressed.
I just thought of that.
That's very good. Gold star.
Yeah.
Well, that was a really good suggestion. I like that. Sudden on the hoof thought.
Yes. Well, between us, I think it's just being really honest about memory and...
acknowledging that we're rubbish. That's an area that's not our strong point.
Unless it's 80s song lyrics for me. I don't remember anything.
Or 1970s for me.
Yes, exactly. And hopefully, you know, people will find something useful out of that, those strategies that we use, or maybe come up with their own. So, you know, do join in the discussion on our Instagram.
Yes, we'd love to see you on there.
Yeah.
That's great. And I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks or so.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, Nikki. See you.
Thanks, Carrie.
Bye.
thanks so much for joining us on our ADHD journey. If you can spare a sec, a review or ranking would be hugely appreciated by us. 5 stars would be marvellous, but whatever you think. Every single one really does help. As well as on your favourite app, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at theadhdconnection_podcast. So we hope to see you on there. Thanks again for listening, and bye for now.